Bikurim Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hey 1:5. The Mishnah digresses a bit now to discuss other halachas that are peculiar to converts. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Isha bas gerim. If you have a woman and both of her parents were converts, lo senaseh lekahuna, she, the daughter, still should not marry a kohen, ad shetehei ima miYisrael, until she has, literally means until her mother is Jewish, supposed to be a convert, but actually what it means is that not only does her mother have to have been Jewish by the time she was born, so she's not a convert, but also that she has to have some Jewish blood, non-convert Jew blood, in her family tree, somewhere all the way back. And until she has some of that in her family tree, she may not marry a Cohen. The reason for that is because there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, which says, Ki im besulos mezera beis Yisrael, the Kohanim should marry girls who are from mezera beis Yisrael, from the seed of the house of Israel, meaning they have to have some Jewish blood flowing through their veins, original Jewish blood, as opposed to convert. And that being the case, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, until there's some original Jewish blood in this girl's lineage, she may not marry a Kohen. Now, the truth is that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with that altogether, and he understands that a girl, as long as her mother converted prior to her birth, could marry a Kohen, even if her father's also a convert. And the truth is that really the Gemara ends up saying that truly, truly, me'ikar din, that is the halacha, like Rabbi Yossi. However, the practice is already fixed since the time of the Gemara that such a girl doesn't marry a Kohen, if both her parents are converts. But really, since me'ikar din, the truth is, technically speaking, the marriage is not invalid if, after the fact, such a girl did marry a Kohen, their children are totally 100% Kohanim, kosher, and they could become Kohanim Gadolim, etc. That's the din halacha. Fine. Echad gerim ve'echad avadim shachrarim. And the Mishnah goes on to say that there's no difference really between a convert and an eved meshuchrar, that is an emancipated slave. So we're talking here about really a shivcha kananis, a girl who started out being not Jewish, but she was acquired as a servant girl and she was a slave. And when a person becomes a slave in a Jewish home, so then that requires their consent, their immersion in mikvah, their acceptance upon themselves of the mitzvahs in the Torah, just like a Jewish woman has. So even if it's a man slave, he has to accept all the mitzvahs like a Jewish woman does, meaning he has to keep kosher, has to keep Shabbos, etc. So that person's like I'll call it a quasi-Jew, if you will. They're not Jewish yet, but in the event they're emancipated, they're freed. So then that Eved Kanani or that Shivcha Kananis, they'll essentially just have to go to the mikvah and they automatically become Jewish. So like sort of, they're sort of half or quasi-Jewish already. So the freed slave is really like a related, very similar to a convert. Very similar to convert indeed. And that being the case, here the Mishnah says there's no real difference. That if you had a girl who was meshuchreret, she was an emancipated slave, then she may not marry a Kohen. And even if Vafilu Adasara Doros, if there keeps on, this girl keeps on marrying more, like say, let's say other freed slaves, or converts for that matter. So it doesn't matter how many, 10 was not loved off Katan, any amount of generations. Those girls of such parents cannot marry a Kohen, ad shetehei iman miYisrael, until they have some Jewish blood inside of them, and that their mother was Jewish before they were born. Again, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita, and again, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that really me'ikar din, and we would let such a convert, the child of a convert, I'll call it, or child of a freed slave. Not the convert and not the freed slave themselves, that's forbidden from the Torah, but the child of such a convert or freed slave, Mary Cohen, Mikra didn't, that could happen, and therefore again, Bidi Evid after the fact, if it did happen, the marriage can continue. The mission now continues on, we go back to the topic of people who can bring but not recite the passages that go with the Bikurim. Hapitropos, that's a guardian. That means, like, for example, if you have orphans, so, and they own the land, but since they're minors, the Zenapitropos put as their, like, their guardian, a legal guardian to take care of their affairs. So since, if, let's say, grew on the children's property, their guardian can't recite, he could on their behalf bring the Bikurim, but he cannot recite it on their behalf because he can't say that it was his land. And the Pasuk requires him to say, Va'ata hine hevesias reishas pri ha'adam asher nasata li Hashem. I'm bringing now the first fruits of the land that Hashem gave to me. And since it's not his land, he certainly cannot recite those verses, so he can't do the Kriya. Same as with the Hashaliach. The Hashaliach is the agent. So if a person is appointed as the agent to bring Bikurim on behalf of the landowner, so the agent who does bring up those Bikurim may not recite the passages. Again, because it's not his. It's not his. It's not even so simple that the Shaliach could bring it at all in the first place. That depends, but that's beyond this part of the mission here. Va'eved, an eved is a slave, so if a person sends his slave on his behalf to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, that's not quite an agent for technical reasons. It's something else. The Eved's not an agent. He's an extension of the person himself. But anyways, the point is that the Eved, the slave, cannot do the reciting because an Eved does not get a portion of the land. Va'isha, same goes for a woman. A woman, the land, as it was apportioned, of Eretz Yisrael was apportioned to the Klal Yisrael and was apportioned to the men, members of the households. And even if you have, for example, like Benos Slavchad, who did inherit, certainly, from their father, it wasn't given to them initially, just that they devolved upon them as heirs to their father. That being the case, a woman can't say, again, this pasuk of Asher Nasata Li, the land that was given to me, because women weren't given the land and the apportionment. So a woman couldn't say it. She could just bring the Bikurim. But actually, if a woman is married to a man, so then the husband could bring the wife's Bikurim that she owns and recite on her behalf, based on a different pasuk, because the pasuk specifies v'samachta b'chol hatov asher nasan lecha Hashem elokecha luveisecha. You'll rejoice in all the goodness that Hashem, your God, gave to you and to your beisecha, to your household, which now says that the husband and wife are at some level interchangeable, meaning that the husband could recite on behalf of the wife. Fine. Two more people who can't recite it are the Tumtum and the Androgynous. The Tumtum is someone who we're not sure if this person is a male or female because they have some sort of membrane covering up their private parts, so you can't determine. And that being the case, you're not sure they're a man, and that being the case, you're not sure that they were entitled to the Chalukah, the portion of the Eretz Yisrael, so they can't recite it. The Androgynous is a different thing altogether. It's a person who has both male and female parts, and in that regrettable scenario, such a person is not from the people who were granted portion land there. It's all again based on a drasha, has to be essentially regular man and not an androgynous. As far as what an androgynous is, let's just not discuss that right now. The whole fourth parak focuses largely on the topic of androgynous, so we'll wait till then to discuss it. So these six people, mevi'in, if they have first fruits, bikurim to bring, they could bring them. Velo korin, but they may not recite the passages, she'enin yichol lamar, because they'll be unable to say, quote, asher nasata li Hashem, the land that Hashem gave to me, because as I explained above, those six people can't say in good faith that this is the land that was given to them, because either it's not their land, or people like them never were given a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael.